Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the remainder of this year while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return December 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. I am happy to advise that on September 2nd, 2021, my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God was released for sale. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. We are more than conquerors in all things through Jesus. Amen. Now let's continue with my teaching titled, The Fruit of the Born-Again Spirit. This teaching is an in-depth study of the book of Galatians chapter 5. The Holy Spirit gave me this teaching in response to all of the negative and abusive rhetoric and confrontations we experience and hear about daily. People in general are operating by their ungodly thoughts and emotions and lashing out at others for no apparent reason. Satan has persuaded these individuals to act out their aggression on the innocent and those weaker than themselves. Rarely do we hear reported on the news about individuals who have demonstrated acts of kindness or compassion on behalf of others. Listener, you may be in a hurting situation and feeling isolated, but unfortunately, you are not alone. There are hurting people all over the world, in our communities and families, because of living under the influence of the lies of Satan. Christians have the answer, and the truth is found in Jesus. We are the light of the world, and we of all people should be able to demonstrate the perfect love of God to others. Satan and his evil assignments cannot prevail when God's people live according to the Holy Bible. In Jesus, we got the victory over all of Satan's lies and attacks. However, it is the responsibility of each Christian to grow in the attributes and character of our Savior. If we want to enjoy peace of mind and prosperity, spirit, soul, and body. If you are interested in being a godly example of Jesus Christ and growing in faith, growing in love, growing in joy, growing in peace, growing in patience, growing in kindness, growing in goodness, growing in faithfulness, growing in gentleness, and growing in self-control, please join me every Wednesday morning to study the fruit of the born-again spirit. I began this teaching on August 25th, 2021. So if you were not with us from the beginning of this teaching, or you would like to re-listen to the previous programs aired, please go to our website at kccfc.net to hear any of the episodes now archived under our radio page. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. For this study, I will be quoting from the Holy Spirit Encounter Bible, unless otherwise stated. Now, I want to continue where I left off last week. We were examining the fruit of the born-again spirit of man as listed in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, when I ran out of time. Let's move forward with examining the sixth fruit of our born-again spirit, which is goodness. I will read my definition from the New Webster's Dictionary and remind you where we should look to for our answers to life. Keep in mind that fruit requires growth and development. The fruit of our born-again spirit must be nurtured with God's Word and given time to develop by using that particular fruit in our everyday living. The more we use love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, the greater that attribute or character of God will grow in us. And we know from God's Word that these attributes bring life more abundantly and not death. As a reminder, these fruits are deposited into our spirit at the time of salvation in Jesus. As Christians, our life's guidebook is the Holy Bible. Therefore, to define what is right or wrong on any topic, the act must be in accordance with God's Word, not what society says is right or wrong. Because we know that Satan is running this corrupt world system, and he has deceived the world to be his tools of destruction. Therefore, Christians must follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and not this corrupt world system. I will be reading from the NIV Bible for the following passages. Goodness. Goodness means that which is righteous or virtuous, as to be a power of good in the world. Excellence or merit, as to discern the good in a book. Kindness or good deeds, as to do good. Advantage, desire, or benefit, as to work for the common good. Use, worthy, or service. As Christians, we are to repay evil with good. How can we do good in the midst of evil? By doing the good act unto the Lord. Goodness shared with others is a direct result of the goodness that God showed us when we were yet sinners. Our Heavenly Father forgave all of our sins and made us whole through Jesus Christ. We did not deserve God's goodness, but he loved us to life in Christ. And when we choose to, we can love others and do them good to draw them to the gift of salvation. Let's read some Bible verses that tell us to operate in goodness. Please turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 6, we're going to read verses 27 and 28. Jesus is speaking. Again, Luke 6, 27 says, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you." Now, family, I know that this is a tall order in the natural. If we allow our flesh to dictate to us how to operate in this world, we would never love our enemies. We would want to get back and do something destructive in revenge. But the Word of God tells us that we are to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate you. And we can do this by doing the love unto the Lord, choosing to put our Heavenly Father first and please him and not our flesh. Let's continue with the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12, we're going to read verses 20 and 21. Romans 12, 20 says, "On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head." Verse 21, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." When we choose to do acts of goodness, kindness, gentleness, what we're doing to Satan and his evil assignments is throwing a big cold bucket of water over his assignments. We are squashing his evil assignments. We are putting him to shame and causing peace to follow in that situation. Again, family, we will overcome evil by doing good. Let's continue with the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, let's read verses 9 and 10. Again, Galatians chapter 6, starting with verse number 9, it says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Family, I want to emphasize this because it is so very important, even in the body of Christ. Christians doing ungodly things to other Christians. But God is commanding us to operate by goodness, that virtue, because when we do good, we squash Satan, his evil assignments, and put him out of our lives. And that's what we want. We don't want to give him any place in our lives. So we want to make sure that we follow the nature, character, virtues of our Savior Lord Jesus the Christ. In verse number 10, I want to read the last part of that verse for emphasis. It says, "Let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Amen. All right, let's continue with 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. Again, 2 Thessalonians 3:13 says, "And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good." Never tire of doing good. That's our marching orders. We can't give up, family, even in this hateful, violent society that we live in. We must never tire of doing good. Just this week, we heard about a shooting in a school. Young man killing 11 individuals. Now, you know his mind was not set on doing good. He allowed Satan to take over his thoughts, ideas, and he pursued that evil thought and idea. So it's up to us individually to make sure that we control what we're thinking on, and that when we do what we're going to do in this earth realm, that we make sure it lines up with God's word. That it is one of God's character and attributes that we do goodness, something good, not something evil. All right, let's go to our last scripture that I want to quote for this character trait of goodness, and that's found in 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to read verses 12 through 15. Again, 1 Peter chapter 2. Starting with verse number 12, it says, "Live such good lives among the pagans," another word for sinner, "that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right." Last verse, verse 15. "For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people." Family, I want to emphasize a couple of phrases in this passage starting in verse number 12. I want to read in the middle of that verse the following statement. "They may see your good deeds and glorify God." You know, sometimes we say, well, why is it important for me to do good? because it draws people to Christ. Jesus said that when we do good, these individuals, whether sinners or unbelieving believers who are acting out in their ungodly thoughts and passions, that they may see your good works, your good deeds, and glorify God. We want to point them to the living God, to our Savior and Lord, to the Holy Spirit who can draw them to Christ. And we can do that, family, by doing good deeds so that God can be glorified. And then in verse 15, I want to read that verse one more time again to emphasize the importance of us operating in goodness. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. I don't know if you've seen it, family, but I'm seeing it more and more. The word of God, Satan is trying to diminish it by putting evil thoughts against those of us who trust in God's word, who have received Jesus as Savior and Lord. And it is a result of trying to keep them from receiving the gift of salvation. So it's very important, family, that we do good deeds, that we stay in line with the word of God so that we can stop that foolish talk and get them to see that it is God, the living God, through Jesus Christ that can save them. All right. In summary, doing good to all people is a result of our free will action, and it is not based on what the other person did or did not do. Our godly freedom to do good is the outcome of our salvation in Jesus. When we examine the life and ultimately crucifixion of Jesus, we know that he accepted great punishment to redeem us back to the Heavenly Father. His loving example should encourage and inspire us to do good to others, because his love is so immense in us that we are able to be his living word here on earth for others to see and imitate. All right, now let's continue with examining the seventh fruit of our born-again spirit, which is faithfulness. I will read my definition from the New Webster's Dictionary and be quoting from the NIV Bible for the following biblical passages. Faithfulness means strict in the performance of duty, unswervingly devoted, loyal to one's promises, trustworthy, adhering to fact or true to an origin. Faithfulness makes godly faith a living reality in one's life. Faithfulness is very important to every Christian. If we want to grow in the God kind of faith, we must be faithful to his holy word. Let's start our search of the Holy Scriptures by turning to the Book of Wisdom. Please go to the book of Proverbs. We're going to start with chapter 11, one verse, verse 13. Again, Proverbs 11:13 says, "A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret." Let's continue with Proverbs 13:17. Proverbs 13:17 says, "A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a trustworthy envoy brings healing." A trustworthy envoy brings healing. And for those of you that don't use that word envoy often, envoy means messenger or representative, like a diplomat. So if you are a trustworthy messenger or representative of God, you bring healing. Let's go to Proverbs 14:5. Again, Proverbs 14:5 says, "An honest witness does not deceive, but a false witness pours out lies." Again, honest witness does not deceive. So we do a self-examination, family. Are we an honest witness? Are we gossiping, telling lies, trying to betray others, doing things that are ungodly in the body of Christ? You do a self-examination. And if that falls on you, repent, ask God for forgiveness, and move forward with doing what is right, being faithful to God's word. All right, let's also turn to Proverbs chapter 25, verse 13. This will be our last scripture from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 25, 13 says, "Like a snow-cooled drink at harvest time is a trustworthy messenger to the one who sends him. He refreshes the spirit of his master." Again, family, a trustworthy messenger refreshes the spirit of his master. For us Christians, that would be our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. When we choose to be trustworthy with the Word of God, not only do we please the Father, but we bring peace and joy among the people. From this point on, I want to read from the Gospels. I want you to see what Jesus has to say about a faithful servant and his reward for his obedience to grow and be steadfast in his duty to the Word of God. Please turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. We're going to read verses 14 through 30. Jesus is speaking. Again, Matthew 25, 14, 30 says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags of gold, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. Verse 17. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them." Verse 20, "The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. The master, he said, 'You entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more.' His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.'" Verse 22, "The man with 2 bags of gold also came. 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more.' His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' Then the man who had 1 bag of gold came. 'Master,' he said, 'I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you.'" Verse 26, "His master replied, 'You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Verse 30. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Family, this is one powerful passage, and it goes through several issues that every Christian must understand. First, because Jesus is giving this parable to his followers. So to speak and share with us, he is teaching us how we should be operating in this earth realm. So I want to highlight some important phrases within this passage, starting with verse number 14. It says that when this master went on a journey, he called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. So you know that a rich man who is going to be giving his servants some of his wealth is going to give him explicit instructions on how to handle his money. Oh, I'm so sorry, family. My time is up. Please come back next week as we continue our study on the fruit of the born again spirit. Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.